Hey, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm Chris Lucian, and this is Austin Chadwick, and we're talking about diffusion of innovation. So, before we were going to record this episode, we looked this up, and we've been calling it distribution of innovation, and actually, it's diffusion.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty good. It came from Everett Rogers, and it was published in 1962, so it was kind of interesting stuff. But I think we should talk about that a little bit more, because our last episode had a lot to do with that, the just sharing episode. So, Austin, what comes to mind when you think about the diffusion of innovation? I'm going to have to really work on saying that.
We've been saying it wrong for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I really don't have a lot. It seems like there's a books and there's a whole lot of academic papers on it and things like that. I don't have a lot of, I guess, so to speak, academic knowledge of it. I do kind of have a more practical knowledge of it. So the term first was introduced to me either by you or in a lean product development talk by Jez Humble, and we can put a link to that in the show notes. Really great talk. But it basically comes down to, for me, the first phrase that comes to mind is, don't boil the ocean, right? In the last episode with Just Sharing, we talked about how in the space that a lot of us work in, you can't just take practice A and just shove it into the environment and it'll work great, right? You gotta experiment and try. And I think diffusion of innovation really gives a nice framework for that, in the sense that, you know, instead of doing a big bang release where everyone in the world and our whole company, all 100 teams are gonna do practice A now, is, you know, it gives you these different segments of people. And what are the different segments?
So there's the innovators, early adopters, early majority, late majority, and laggards.
Right. Yeah. And so for me, practically being in the coach role, officially or unofficially, is, hey, you know, you might host some learning sessions where you have an innovative idea expressed and, you know, talked about, and someone shares about how they tried it out. And then you look in the audience for people who are interested and willing to try it. And I guess that would be the innovators, right?
Yep.
And then once you have those people trying it, it kind of makes like an incubation zone for the idea to be tried out, maybe on one team, maybe a subsection of people. And then that's enough to convince the next segment of people, right?
And there's this idea of crossing the chasm. And the chasm exists between the innovators and the early adopters. And that's when the innovators, you know, that's the bleeding edge. That's where everything's super dangerous and might not succeed. The early adopters usually come along in the sense of, we've seen you doing it and you've been doing it for some time. And so I think we're comfortable now to bring it on. I first heard about this through some of Linda Rising's talks, and she has a great story about, basically, not everyone will be at the same stage, and everybody will be an innovator on something and everyone will be a laggard on something else. And so what's interesting about it is that you're not classified as an innovator necessarily, but instead you're more likely to try one thing than the other, and that's different for everyone. And so Linda goes into this whole story about how if you're the one to discover new berries as a caveman, then you might be the one to try them and say, hey, this is great, but there's going to be somebody really skeptical that says, I'm going to wait, I'm going to starve today, and I'm going to eat something else tomorrow when we hunt again. And so that person might succeed and eat them for a while, and some people will start adopting it over time, or they might be poisoned and they might die in the next 15 minutes. And so, you know, kind of a morbid example, but the outcome is that you know, there, it's there for a reason, and it's okay to be a laggard, it's okay to be an innovator. But I think one big thing is that you have to understand that this exists in your environment, and you can still explore things that can be innovative, and the things that are really good for your organization will naturally cross the chasm, right? And so you might have something where you're trying to influence organizational change, but and maybe the best way to do it is to find out how to make the organization accepting of iterative changes throughout the environment, and then those iterative changes, then the innovations will naturally diffuse, right? I think another key point for me, and I thought that was, it's important to note, is being in a team where we have multiple mobs, It's interesting because I see that each of those mobs adopt their own practices. Yeah. And so every once in a while, we'll do a sharing of successful practices that you think other mobs aren't doing. And this is a way to kind of help accelerate the diffusion of innovation.
Yeah, very good. And I've seen the success of that. Whoever tried out having Retro and the Mob Timer originally, my mob now practices that. And I've experienced the benefit of it. It's cool that someone else experimented with it for a while, so it wasn't like we're the first ones doing it, and so we, in that sense, we are more an early adopter. Or
how often do you do a retro right now?
It's usually, you know, 2 to 4 times a day. Yeah. So little micro retros, and but it was great to stand on the shoulders of the innovators who first tried it out, right?
Yeah.
And so I think one other thing that comes to mind to me with the fusion of innovation is, I'm gonna keep saying it until I get it right. Is
extra emphasis.
It's really a divide from doing something like command and control agile, where it's like,
yeah,
we know the best way, you're all going to do it, and it's going to be framework XYZ, you know, pick one out of the hat. And what happens is I've seen coaches or even people who believe in it feel this pressure to be like, and they feel like they're failing unless it's progressing at a certain rate, right? And if it's not crossing the chasm, or some people who expect it to like cross the chasm immediately, and they feel like a failure as a coach or as like an influence in the organization, is because they're surprised by all the skepticism, they're surprised by the laggards, surprised by the people who don't want to try it, and it almost creates this kind of antagonistic fighting in the organization. As opposed to being like, look, hey, this has worked well other places, oh, I'm glad there's some people excited about it, let's try it out. And then if it works really well, we can share it with the rest of the organization in a more natural way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. If you ever feel like you're defensive about a practice, right, that's a good sign that something's kind of in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's good to regularly ask for feedback. It's also good to get all the early adopters in one place, right?
Yeah.
And so if you have to be defensive of the practice while you're practicing it, then you're not going to get the best result. The better thing to do, in my experience, just anecdotally, is to get the people who really want to make that thing succeed, get them together and have them prove it out. And then once it's been in operation for a while, reflect on it and just report out your findings and try and be as objective as possible in your analysis. Yeah. And if you can accomplish that, then there will be a slow trickle of more and more people that want to work that way. And so finding out good ways to allow an organization to evolve like that is I think more important than necessarily adopting those practices, any one of those practices, right? So each of those practices have kind of an incremental gain, but this idea of saying, okay, we understand that certain people want to get together and try a style of work and operate on that over time, that core is the key to kind of evolving and getting those good practices in and making those other bad practices go away, right?
Yeah, and I think I'll add one more note, and then I think I'll be done for this one, at least for me, which is, you know, I think it gives a peace of mind to several people playing part in any culture change, right? Is, you know, if I'm sharing something, I'm not, like, going back to just sharing, like, I'm not guaranteeing this is going to work for everybody. I'm just like, oh, mob programming, TDD, this has been amazing for me, and I'm sharing that, you know? And then from the influencer, you're really just investing in those people who are excited about the new thing. And it just gives such a peace of mind to, like, it's not on me to boil the ocean to change everyone, you know, just spread around good things and it should grow naturally. And if it doesn't, you know, that makes you maybe reflect on how valuable the thing is in and of itself. So,
yeah, try and be as objective as possible, and but don't shoot it in the foot too, right? Like, get the innovators, get the early adopters together and allow them to work that way, the way that they think it should work. And if you can get the like-minded people together, you can accelerate that process, because then you can actually have evidence to what you believe is the right way to go about it.
Yep. Right on. Yeah. Ready to call that one done?
I think I am.
All right.
Until next time.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Come back and check for links in the comments and subscribe.
Yes. Yeah. Until next time. Have a good one.